Hi, everyone. This is Dawn Clem, and you are on my podcast, Milkweed and Monarchs. This is my maiden podcast, so my very first one. I think because it's my first one, I need to explain a little bit about who I am as a person, and I'm also going to tell you who inspired me to do a podcast and how I came up with the title, Milkweed and Monarchs. First, let me just say that being a podcaster was about the last thing I thought I would ever do in my life. You see, I'm not an actress, although I can be dramatic at times. I'm not a professional singer, although you can tell that wouldn't be possible because I have a very nasally voice. Sometimes people compared me to the nanny, which was like, oh, really? Am I that bad? And I'm definitely not a professional athlete. If you know me or have met me in person, you know that I'm actually quite short. I don't think I could be a professional athlete and do the sport much service. I can bowl though. I can bowl. My mom was a bowler and I like to bowl too. I'm not a politician. And every day I say, yes, Lord, thank you. I'm not a politician. If you look at the political climate that we're in today, who would ever want to be a politician? Not me. In actuality, I'm just an everyday, ordinary person, like many of you out there. I was born and raised in a small town in southern Michigan. My father's family was from Grand Rapids, Michigan, and subsequently moved to northern Indiana. My mom's family was from northern Ohio. So southern Michigan was a good central location for both of them to have access to their families. In my nuclear family, there were four members: my mom, my dad, me, and my younger brother. I was born in October, so I started school when I was 4 years old and subsequently graduated from high school when I was 17. This is really important because I was young when I graduated. And I really had no clear understanding of what I wanted to do in my life. I had a tremendous amount of fun in high school, but I don't think that I took high school seriously enough to be prepared to go to college. My mom and dad both worked the entire time I was growing up. My dad was a sales manager, and my mom was an operations manager for the business office at our local hospital. But they didn't save any money. I mean, it was at a time when you didn't think much about the cost of college, and they didn't really plan for me to go to college. And honestly, I don't really think that I spent much time thinking about going to college. My dad only went through the eighth grade in school, and my mom graduated from high school. So I don't think it was really in their mind to send me to college. And both of them, even though they didn't go to college, were really quite successful in their careers. I had no understanding of what I wanted to do anyway. So if I had graduated from high school and started into college, I think it might have been a bust, okay? Because there was not one thought in my mind about what I wanted to do for the rest of my life. Just the thought of it sounded kind of scary to me. I remember I was getting ready to graduate, and I went to see my dad at work. He called me into his office, and we were having a heart-to-heart talk about my future and that kind of thing. my dad and I had a very good relationship. So it wasn't intimidating for me to go in and sit down and have a heart-to-heart conversation with him. But this day, he looked me directly in the eye and he said to me, "Listen, no one helped me in my life, and I'm not going to be helping you either." At the time he told me that, honestly, I didn't think much of it. I mean, I wasn't really upset by that conversation. To me, it made a lot of sense. He was a self-made man. He was an avid reader. Oh my gosh, he read continuously. And he went to classes. He learned how to be an excellent sales manager. He learned how to do operations, so he was also an operations manager at the local dealership where he worked. And I think he was trying to say to me that if you want to make it in this life, you're going to have to work hard. It's not going to be something that I just hand over to you. So to me, the conversation made a lot of sense. In a way, when I look back, I think he actually gave me a gift. All of a sudden, I was going to have freedom. Freedom to figure out what I was going to do with my own life. I wasn't insulted, hurt, or provoked. I wasn't agitated. I just knew I had freedom. And now I had a lot of time to think about what the future was going to hold for me. I was really more excited about the conversation than anything else. But nonetheless, I had absolutely zero money saved up to do anything. I mean, that's actually not true. I worked three jobs while I was in high school, so I did have some money saved up. I was a regular babysitter for several families. I worked at a local pizzeria, and I also worked at the college for banquets, setting up banquet tables and serving conventions, that kind of thing. But that was my spending money, I thought, to get me through high school. And a lot of times I bought my own clothes. So there was not a lot of money saved up. There was a little, but not much. I was young when I graduated, so I figured I'm just going to work for a year and I'm going to save up more money and I'll figure out what I'm going to do. So I worked at a local restaurant and I worked that whole first year out of high school. It really wasn't so bad. I was still living at home, so I didn't have to pay any rent, any utilities. All I had to do was go to work and earn money. My dad did make me pay for gas money, which seemed reasonable. But that was really the only thing that I ever had to pay for. Well, the summer after the first year of my graduation, my friends who had gone off to college came home for the summer. And one of my really good friends came to see me, Crystal. She wanted me to go to college with her. She had gone to Western Michigan University, and she thought that I could be her roommate and we could go back together when she started back up in the fall. And by now, I actually had saved up some money, and I was kind of excited about the thought of going away to college. I have to say, my mom was over the moon about the idea of me going to college. And she offered to pay for the room and board as long as I paid for my classes. At the time, that sounded like such a great deal. So I decided to go off to Western Michigan University. I applied to the college. I got accepted when I was in that summer, during that summer, I got accepted. And so when I was 18, off to Western Michigan, I went to college for the first time. When I got there, it was very clear that I had no idea what I wanted to do. I'm like just aimlessly looking through the course catalogs going, what am I going to study? I had no inkling at all. So I knew I was going to have to take the general education requirements. And I decided, well, maybe I can take a couple of business classes at the same time. Then this time was during a time when business programs were just starting to come out. I thought, oh, maybe I'll run my own business. Oh, my Lord, I don't even know where I came up with that. I had the only experience I had was babysitting and waitressing. So how am I going to run a business? It's so funny how you look back at yourself when you're young and you think, how did I ever come up with that idea? But anyhow, that's what was driving me forward. I didn't know where I came up with that because I'm not business oriented in the least. I thought about going into education and being a math teacher. Math has always been a strong skill for me. But when I thought about how I was asked to tutor students in high school, I knew I didn't have the patience to be a teacher at all. I found myself getting very frustrated if the students were not able to get the problem right away. I was totally annoyed. And really, being that impatient is not a good quality for a teacher. So I knew education was out. So I went through the motions of going to school and classes, but I really didn't do very well that year. First of all, I'm in business classes and I know nothing about business. Second of all, I'm taking other classes, general eds like English and math. And although I did fairly well in English, math, I wasn't as good as I thought I was, or else I wasn't paying as much attention as I needed to. That freedom and trying to figure self out was just overwhelming to me. I think I had some good fun there, but I really wasn't serious about that first year in college and getting my education. So the end of the year came, and I went back home for the summer, still wondering, what the heck am I going to do? What am I going to do? This is not a good thing. So I went back to work in the restaurant in the summer. I started saving up money again. And I did end up going back to Western Michigan in the fall. But I didn't take any classes. I just went back to live with my friend Crystal as her roommate, really. I got a job in a restaurant and thought, well, I can just continue to make money this year. That would be good. But I was upset with myself, really, because I knew I was not being productive and I had to do something. Well, I had a great friend up there, and he was in the ROTC program, and that was what was getting him through college. So I talked to him about my problems, and he encouraged me to go down and see a recruiter. Another girlfriend that I had was up there at the same time, and her brother had joined the Navy. So we decided to go see the Navy recruiter. We didn't even look at the Air Force, the Marines, or the Army. We just went to the Navy recruiter because her brother was in the Navy. That's how you make decisions when you're young, right? There's no real rationale. You just look for a connection somehow. I know it's crazy, but we went to see the Navy recruiter. And yes, it's true. I decided I was going to join the Navy. I don't know why. I just felt like I've got to do something. And at the time, she was with me, and she said she was going to join as well. So we were all set to join the Navy. We went to the recruiter in the late fall, right around November. And then you start the whole process. You have to have a physical, you have to get checked out to make sure you're okay. And so I started that process. And in the meantime, my friend ended up backing out. She decided she did not want to go into the Navy. But I was full on, and I did not care that she was backing out. I was going to make that commitment come hell or high water. The military has an education program, and they want you to choose a field of study that you're interested in so that when you get through basic training, you'll go to that school where you will get trained. And that's what your job will be while you're in the military. And I signed up for 4 years of the military. So it was like going to college for 4 years. All of it made so much sense to me at that time. I went to the recruiter again to talk to him about what my available school options were. There was really nothing that I thought I wanted to do. Absolutely nothing. Zero programs that captured my attention. And I'm like, well, what am I going to do? Because I don't really want to do any of these programs. And he said to me, well, you can just go into the military. Just go ahead and go. You're going to get assigned to a program when you get down there. So you can take a risk and hope that you get one of the programs that you thought you might be interested in. And so I said, okay, I'm not going to sign up for a school since there isn't anything. I'm just going to go in and I'm going to take my chances when I get to basic training or boot camp. So in January of 1978, just after I had turned 19 years old, I took my first plane ride from Detroit, Michigan, down to Orlando, Florida, to go to boot camp. That was the biggest moment, at least one of the biggest moments in my life, right there, going to boot camp. When I got off the plane, we were all loaded onto a bus and then taken to the barracks. And the person who was in charge of us at that first stop had told me, you're going to be taking an aptitude test because we need you to get into an assigned program. That gave me a little sigh of relief, because at least I knew that I was going to have some direction while I was there. So I ended up taking a test within the first week there, and I scored high on the test. And they called me back into the office, and they said, you're going to be a hospital corpsman. You're going to hospital corps school training. You're going to get through boot camp, and then you're going to go through 10 weeks of training for hospital corps school, and you're going to work in a hospital. So basically what I'm telling you all today is that the Navy basically decided what my life career was going to be. Because from the time I went to boot camp until the time I retired, I was in healthcare, and that's the honest to God's truth. I was a hospital corpsman in the Navy for 4 years. Originally, I went to Great Lakes for hospital corps training, and that was in Joaquin, Illinois. And then I went to San Diego, and I worked at Balboa Naval Hospital. And Eventually, I was stationed overseas at Keflavik, Iceland, the naval station up there in their hospital. And then when I got out of the Navy, I went back to live in San Diego. Why? Why not, right? Beautiful area to live. And my experience from being in the Navy allowed me to sit for the license practical exam, or LPN. Out in California and in the western states, it's called an LV, as in Victor, N, or a licensed vocational nurse. But it's the same thing as a licensed practical nurse that you see in the eastern part of the United States. I sat for that test, and after having been in the military for 4 years, working in hospitals, I passed the test right away, no problem. And so I was able to get a job as an LVN, and it became pretty clear after a short period of time that being an LVN was not going to be enough for me. So I ended up going back to nursing school. I got my associate degree, subsequently my bachelor's degree, and then my master's degree. I'm a clinical nurse specialist in adult health, and I spent most of my career working in oncology. I was a bone marrow transplant coordinator, and my last job was as a brain tumor nurse navigator. I had other positions throughout my careers, though. I worked in leadership, I worked in oncology leadership, I was a bedside nurse, and I also worked in the other two positions I told you about. I worked in research and in education. I did all four elements of nursing. The Navy is the one that decided my career, and the Navy is the one that made my life for me. And I just feel so blessed and grateful for the military in giving me the guidance that I needed to move forward in my life. There's going to be many episodes where I'm going to tell you some stories about the military that are worth hearing. And actually, I think you'll get a kick out of them. I think, and I hope, you're going to enjoy this podcast. I'm going to be telling stories about the people that I've met along the way in my lifetime, people that have influenced me more than I could ever imagine, people that changed me, positions that moved me forward, and how I actually came out of my career feeling a spiritual connection with everyone that I met along the way. So please join me in listening to my podcast. I hope to get out an episode weekly, but I'm sure there will be times where there's delays in between. I will try to keep you posted along the way. And the next episode, I'll be talking about how I came up with the name Milkweed and Monarchs. Thank you all for joining today. Until the next time.